Chapter 109. But you ought to be glad on my account, apostrophe said Tom. I shall be twice as happy with you for a companion. Hold up your head. There. Now we go out as we ought. Not blustering, you know, but firm and confident in ourselves. Apostrophe, the idea of Tom and his sister blustering, under any circumstances, was a splendid absurdity. But Tom was very far from feeling it to be so, in his excitement, and passed out at the gate with such severe determination written in his face, that the porter hardly knew him again. It was not until they had walked some short distance, and Tom found himself getting cooler and more collected, that he was quite restored to himself by an inquiry from his sister, who said in her pleasant little voice, "Where are we going, Tom? Apostrophe, apostrophe, dear me. Apostrophe, apostrophe," said Tom, stopping, "I don't know. Apostrophe, don't you live anywhere, dear?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Tom's sister, looking wistfully in his face. "No, apostrophe," said Tom. "Not at present. Not exactly. I only arrived this morning. We must have some lodgings." Apostrophe, he didn't tell her that he had been going to stay with his friend John, and could on no account think of billeting two inmates upon him, of whom one was a young lady, for he knew that would make her uncomfortable, and would cause her to regard herself as being an inconvenience to him. Neither did he like to leave her anywhere, while he called on John, and told him of this change in his arrangements, for he was delicate of seeming, to encroach upon the generous and hospitable nature of his friend. Therefore he said again, "We must have some lodgings, of course." Apostrophe, and said it as stoutly as if he had been a perfect directory and guidebook to all the lodgings in London. "Where shall we go, and look for 'em?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Tom. "What do you think?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, Tom's sister was not much wiser on such a topic than he was. So she squeezed her little purse into his coat pocket, and folding the little hand with which she did so on the other little hand with which she clasped his arm, said nothing. "It ought to be a cheap neighborhood," apostrophe said Tom, "and not too far from London. Let me see. Should you think Islington a good place?" Apostrophe, "I should think it was an excellent place, Tom." Apostrophe, "It used to be called Mary Islington, once upon a time," apostrophe said Tom. "Perhaps it's Mary now. If so, it's all the better. Eh?" Apostrophe, "If it's not too dear," apostrophe said Tom's sister. "Of course, if it's not too dear," apostrophe assented Tom. "Well, where is Islington?" "We can't do better than go there, I should think. Let's go." Apostrophe, Tom's sister would have gone anywhere with him, so they walked off, arm in arm, as comfortably as possible. Finding, presently, that Islington was not in that neighborhood, Tom made inquiries respecting a public conveyance thither, which they soon obtained. As they rode along they were very full of conversation indeed, Tom relating what had happened to him, and Tom's sister relating what had happened to her, and both finding a great deal more to say than time to say it in, for they had only just begun to talk, in comparison with what they had to tell each other, when they reached their journey's end. "Now," apostrophe said Tom, "we must first look out for some very unpretending streets, and then look out for bills in the windows." Apostrophe, so they walked off again, quite as happily as if they had just stepped out of a snug little house of their own, to look for lodgings on account of somebody else. Tom's simplicity was unabated, heaven knows, but now that he had somebody to rely upon him, he was stimulated to rely a little more upon himself, and was, in his own opinion, quite a desperate fellow. After roaming up and down for hours, looking at some scores of lodgings, they began to find it rather fatiguing, especially as they saw none which were at all adapted to their purpose. At length, however, in a singular little old-fashioned house, up a blind street, they discovered two small bedrooms and a triangular parlor, which promised to suit them well enough. Their desiring to take possession immediately was a suspicious circumstance, but even this was surmounted by the payment of their first week's rent, and a reference to John Westlock Esquire, Furnival's Inn, High Holborn. Ah! It was a goodly sight, when this important point was settled, to behold Tom and his sister trotting round to the baker's, and the butcher's, and the grocer's, with a kind of dreadful delight in the unaccustomed cares of housekeeping, taking secret counsel together as they gave their small orders, and distracted by the least suggestion on the part of the shopkeeper. When they got back to the triangular parlor, and Tom's sister, bustling to and fro, busy about a thousand pleasant nothings, stopped every now and then to give old Tom a kiss or smile upon him, Tom rubbed his hands, as if all Islington were his. It was late in the afternoon now, though, and high time for Tom to keep his appointment. So, after agreeing with his sister that in consideration of not having dined, they would venture on the extravagance of chops for supper at 9, he walked out again to narrate these marvelous occurrences to John. "I am quite a family man all at once," apostrophe thought Tom. "If I can only get something to do, how comfortable Ruth and I may be. Ah, that if! But it's of no use to Desmond. I can but do that when I have tried everything and failed, and even then it won't serve me much. Upon my word," apostrophe thought Tom, quickening his pace, "I don't know what John will think has become of me. He'll begin to be afraid I have strayed into one of those streets where the countrymen are murdered, and that I have been made meat pies of, or some such horrible thing." Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.